Well, what we want to share with you this morning is just the phrase that the Lord spoke to me was, "What is flesh?" And it seems like there's a misunderstanding. The word's used a lot, in the church arena, but do we really have any concept of what is being said? And what I want to do is begin by reading a few passages of Scripture, and I'm going to read these from my paraphrase so you can follow along in whatever translation you're using. And I will begin with Romans chapter 7 and looking at verse 5. Romans chapter 7 and verse 5. "When we were in our carnal nature, the influence of sin, which was revealed by the law, was active in our bodies to produce death." Just think of how that works in our bodies, okay? Then in the 8th chapter of Romans, I want to look at the first 8 verses, Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. It says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not follow the dictates of the flesh, but follow the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, which is life in Christ Jesus, has liberated us from the law of sin and delivers us from death. For what the law could not do because it depended upon the flesh, which was weak, God did by sending His Son in the form of sinful flesh for the purpose of judging sin in the flesh. By doing so, the righteousness of the law could be fulfilled in those who do not follow the dictates of the flesh, but follow the dictates of the Spirit. For those who follow the dictates of the flesh place their interest in the things of the flesh. But those who follow the dictates of the Spirit put their interest in the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," thinking about the body, "is death. But to be spiritually minded," thinking about the Spirit, "is life and peace. The carnal mind is hostile toward God because it will not submit to the law of God. It is an impossibility. So then, those who follow the dictates of the flesh cannot please God." Then if you drop down to verse 13, same chapter, Romans 8, 13. "For if you live following the dictates of the flesh, you will die. But if you, through the Spirit, terminate the deeds of the body, you will live." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 1 through 4. And here again, this is my paraphrase. "Brethren, I could not speak to you like I would to spiritual people, but I had to speak to you as carnal people, as though you were babies in Christ. I have given you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not able to digest it. You are still not able to digest spiritual food because you're still carnal. Where there is envying, strife, and divisions among you, you're still carnal. You walk as natural people. Some are saying, 'I am of Paul,' and others are saying, 'I am of Apollos,' thereby demonstrating your carnality." Now, we'll take these scriptures, and from that, we're going to look at some different categories, if you will. We talk about the flesh, but do we really understand what's meant by the flesh? Is flesh always spoken of in a negative connotation, or can it have another meaning? And I hope that by the time we get through with this particular study, that we'll learn the difference between flesh as carnality and flesh as it relates to the physical man. One is necessary. The other is detrimental. And we've got to get a distinction here and bring things in line to where we're agreeing with God. The word flesh is used 420 times in the King James Version of the Bible. 271 of those times in the Old Testament, 149 times in the New Testament. Seven different Hebrew words were translated as flesh. The Hebrew word basar was translated flesh 259 times. It means flesh from its freshness, meat, okay? By extension, it can also mean the body of a person, or by euphemism, it can mean the pedenta of a man. Two Greek words were translated flesh. The Greek word sarx was translated as flesh 147 times, and it means flesh, like the meat of an animal, as food. But by extension, it also means the body, or by implication, it means human nature, or specifically, it can be talking about a human being. Now, from these definitions, we can see that the meaning of the flesh is determined by its context, right? And I'm telling you, context is vital to understand the Scriptures. So flesh can be talking about meat to eat, or flesh can be talking about the physical body, or it can be talking about human nature, or it can be talking about a human being. You follow all that? Good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, Paul makes this statement. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, this scripture uses the word flesh two times, and it's the same Greek word sarx that is used here. One time it's referring to the physical body, the other time it's referring to carnality. Although we walk in a fleshly physical body, we do not war according to the flesh, or we do not war with a carnal way of thinking. And then he goes on in the next verse, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, it's not natural weapons. It's not things pertaining to the flesh. So the context of the Scripture identifies when flesh is referring to the physical body or when flesh is referring to carnality. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, Paul speaks of mortifying or killing the deeds of the body. And we'll learn what this statement means as we go along. Obviously, he's not saying commit suicide. So we'll go ahead and get that established now. But when he says mortify the, what, deeds of the body, that's what flesh produces. In other words, it's the works that's coming out of a natural way of thinking. Okay? Then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, we're told again to mortify, or this time it's a different word, but it means to deaden our body members on earth. Here again, it's not talking about cutting any member of your body off. That's not what it's referring to. And we'll learn what this statement's talking about. But obviously, it's don't let the physical members do things that are contrary to the will of God. That's basically what he comes down to. And then I want us to look at the word carnal, because I believe we need to look at this word in order to understand flesh more fully. The word carnal is mentioned in the Bible 11 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And there are two Greek words translated as carnal, the word sarx and also the word sarkikos. The Greek word sarkikos was translated carnal 9 times and fleshly 2 times. It means pertaining to flesh. By extension, it means bodily or temporal or unregenerate. Or by implication, it could even be talking about animal. And a lot of people seem to operate with animal instincts, don't they? Acting like animals instead of like they should. We'll leave it at that. When writing to the Romans and the Corinthians, Paul used the word carnal several times. He used the word flesh numerous times in the letters that he wrote in the New Testament. Now, the intent of this, and I believe what the Lord is wanting to reveal to us, is to learn what Paul and other writers, what they meant by flesh and what's meant by carnal. And so we're going to look at these things. First, let's just look at the natural man. That's what's sitting here, all right? And women, humor me when I say, man, you're included, okay? But the natural man can be defined in two different ways. It can be defined as the physical body. And this is a body of flesh, right? At the beginning, when we were reading the Scripture, and it talked about how God defeated, if you will, sin in the flesh. Because it's the physical man that commits the sins, it was a physical body that was crucified on the cross. A fleshly body, if you will. All right, that flesh was punished for all humanity for what all humanity was doing with its body. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Then, so the physical body can be relating to flesh, or it could be relating to carnality, which simply means that we're doing what the body wants to do. That's what Eve did in the garden. She did what the body wanted to do. She liked what she saw. She decided that she would taste it, then realizing that this will work for my benefit was what she was thinking. Now I won't need God. I'll know the difference between good and evil. Sounds like modern day society, doesn't it? They get so educated that they leave God. We don't need God anymore. We can make our own decision. We'll be our own God. And that's where the society is today. And God needs someone standing up for truth. And someone properly portraying the Lord Jesus Christ. We need this physical body. This physical body gives us the legal right and privilege to function and act with authority in the earth, this natural world, if you will. So, we need this fleshly body to fulfill the mandates of God. But we do not need the fleshly body determining what to do. Does that make sense? We need to be listening to God. I take you back to the Garden of Eden. Up until the time that Satan tempted the woman, whatever God said, that's what they did. They didn't question anything. They didn't make any decisions independently of God or out of the will of God. But when Satan comes on the scene, he is trying to get humanity to act independently of God. He's still doing the same thing today. And he still does it in the same way. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So if he can get you thinking on your physical body, then he can get you drawn away from God. Isn't that what he did with Eve? And then he'll get you questioning God. And how many scholars today misinterpret what God said? That's what Satan did. Did God say? Number one, did God say that? Well, let me tell you what he really meant. You won't really die. That's not what he meant. What he's trying to do is protect himself. Because he knows that if you eat of this fruit, you'll be able to make decisions independently of him. You'll be able to determine right and wrong. Isn't that what's going on today? That's why we're told to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you're not determining right and wrong. God is. You've been led by the Spirit. That's where he wants us. So, carnality relates to what the nature of the natural man desires. And this aspect of the natural is what we're told to consider dead. Deaden these things. And if you don't deaden those, it's going to hinder you. Right? So, we need this body. Otherwise, we can't do the will of God in earth. This body God wants to dwell in. But Satan also wants to dwell in this body. God wants to manifest Himself through this physical, fleshly body. But so does Satan. And so we're being influenced every day of our life, and the influence that we're paying the most attention to is what the body is going to demonstrate through its actions. You with me? Now, when the body does that, then it's carnality, not spirituality. Anytime we operate independently of God. Carnality is, it relates to what the natural man desires, and Paul said in Galatians 2:20, crucified. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, the dictates of the natural man are crucified. But I'm not dead in my physical fleshly body. But the life that's keeping this physical fleshly body operating in earth is actually the life of Christ. Does that make sense? And I'm living now by faith, not by what I see. By faith, not by sight. And that was 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us to do, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? And we have to learn to do that. So, people seem to have great difficulty in distinguishing between the desires of the flesh and the necessities of the physical man. Your body needs food. Your body needs water. Your body needs rest. There's things that your body actually needs, okay? And God knows all that. But we have to distinguish between necessity and what your body desires. And your body, when it sees something, it just starts screaming, I want that. Or I want to do this. I want to go there. I want to whatever. And the body will actually work against you by you thinking on how to please the body. You will not be thinking on how to please God. Because pleasing the body will occupy your mind. And if your mind's occupied with the natural, I promise you it won't be occupied with the spiritual. And that's why we're told to renew our minds to where we're not thinking on the outward man, but to where we're thinking from the inside. Using the natural man, but not being dominated by the natural man. Does that make sense? And if you follow the dictates of the flesh, it'll hinder your fellowship with the Lord. And people are feeding the flesh every day of their life. I mean, I'm not talking about church people. You would expect the world to do that. But I'm talking about church people, because all you have to do is listen to the conversation and listen to what they did during the day, and you'll find out that they've been feeding the flesh, not the spirit. You're quiet. That's what the news media does. The news media feeds your flesh to get you stirred up to where you're not producing fruit of the Spirit, but you're actually going to be producing the works of the flesh. And all these other things that people are subjecting themselves to. Our minds are occupied with the wrong thing, so we're thinking on the wrong thing, so we're speaking the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. And deceiving ourselves by saying we're Christians. That's what a lot of people do today. They have to tell you they're a Christian because you sure can't recognize it by their lifestyle. Because they're acting just like the world acts. They're subjecting themselves to things that the world subjects themselves to. God called the nation of Israel out of Egypt. You understand? God has called us out of the world. But it seems like we're having a difficult time getting out of the world. Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, you're in it, but not of it. I have you here to be light and salt. I don't have you here to be participating in the things of the world and being dominated by the world. Does that make sense? So some change is going to have to come to where the body of Christ is seen as the body of Christ. To where the body is actually acting like the head. It's in agreement with the head, not working against the head. So, we need the physical man, but we need to keep the physical man under subjection to the Spirit. You with me? Okay. Don't pursue carnality. If you pursue carnality, if you pursue just what I want, what I want, what I want, then you won't please the Lord. You know, I could give you some just very basic things. You know, when the Lord spoke to me back many years ago to start going into the world, I had a fear, we could say it that way, of what I was going to be subjected to, food. And I mean, it can occupy your mind. Am I even going to be able to eat the food? And I'm going to tell you, I've been in some places and I've had to learn how to do it. I've learned that if you'll hold your breath and swallow, you won't gag. I'm serious. But if you start thinking about the flesh, it will stop you from doing what God's called you to do. You can't go there. You take it a day at a time. You take it an hour at a time. You take it a minute at a time. And you look at things and you just believe that the Word of God says that if I sanctify this by God's Word and prayer, that it won't hurt me. You with me? Now what are you doing? You're keeping the flesh down to where the Spirit of God can flow through your to accomplish the ministry that He sent you there to do. That's just a very simple thing. Okay? But you'd be surprised, just the average person would be surprised how much the flesh dominates their life on a daily basis. I said dominates. You need your body every day. But you don't need your body controlling your life. You with me? And the Lord's not going to starve you to death. He's not going to make you go without sleep all your life. But He may make you up in the middle of the night. He may have you interceding. Or He may have you fasting for your period of time. But the grace of God sustains you in those times. You're getting your strength from the Spirit. It's like Jesus in the fourth chapter of John, where He's there by Jacob's well, when the woman comes and He's tired. You understand? Jesus is physically tired, fatigued. If you want to look it up, that's why He was at that well. He was tired from His journey, and so His disciples went on into the village to get food because they're tired, they're hungry. But when the woman comes to the well, He's not thinking naturally now. He's thinking spiritually. And He begins ministering to that woman. And by the time His disciples get back, they're saying, you know, here's the food, let's eat. He said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. God's sustaining me. When I step out into the ministry and start doing what God's called me to do, I'm not hungry. You can go for a long period of time and minister and not even think about being hungry. But if you look at your watch, 12 o'clock, all of a sudden you get hungry. Isn't that amazing how that works? Because your mind is focused on the wrong thing. And God wants to get our thinking on the Spirit to where we're pursuing the things of the Spirit rather than things of the flesh. Maintain the physical body. It needs maintenance. But don't let the physical body usurp the inward man. Now I'm going to step out in Samaria. If you get mad at me, just get over it, okay? But in the last several years, many years, especially when the athletics has reached such a dominance in society, and then people are putting so much emphasis on the physical man, want to be slim and trim and muscular, and if you're a man, eating this, not eating that, exercising, doing this, get your routine, join the Y, and join the weight club, all these type things. There's so much emphasis put on the physical man that it is captivating the attention of the person, and they don't even know they're being dominated by the body. I'm not saying lay around and be a couch potato. I don't mean that. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm going to tell you, the best exercise in the world is physical work. Just work with your body. Work with your hands. Get out and work, and you'll be amazed at what that'll do for the body. God created man to work, not play. Playing gets you in trouble. Work will get you out of trouble. Or keep you from getting in it. You understand? So God has this thing set up to where the body is getting the proper exercise if we do what He created us to do. But people want to sit behind the desk all day and then go to the Y and try to compensate for it. I'm meddling, huh? No, I'm not meddling. I'm just telling you how this thing is working. And I'm telling you that outward man is dominating that inward man. And we put way too much attention on food. You'd be surprised. People will actually get upset over food.
Amen.
Where you want to eat? I don't care. You understand? I'm sure there's something in there that I can eat. I do not live to eat. We just eat to keep the body going, you understand? And we've got to learn not to put the emphasis on that. What if we put that much emphasis on the spirit man? What if we put that emphasis on exercising the spirit man, on feeding the spirit man? It'd be a whole different world today. Because then we would be dominated from the spirit, not from the natural. The people have a preconceived idea of what you're supposed to look like. You tell me what the perfect figure is, what the perfect weight is, what the perfect height is. And I'll tell you that Creator God created man in all shapes and sizes. But we let the society, we let the world tell us what's acceptable and what's not. We let the heathen society of Hollywood dictate our lives in what's beautiful and what isn't. I'm going to tell you what's beautiful. It's the spirit on the inside of you that's doing what God's called you to do. And when that spirit's beautiful, it radiates on the outside, and you're a beautiful person. It doesn't matter how much you weigh, how tall you are, or how short you are. It comes from the inside. And that is the true beauty. This other is deceitful. As you get old, you change. Some of you may have noticed that. You might even lose a hair or two. But it didn't affect the spirit. You with me? This is a vehicle to carry the spirit to where it can do what God wants it to do. We've got to get our attention on the spirit man, not on the natural man. The body's to be maintained, but it's not to be pampered. We don't need our flesh stroked. We need it killed. And I'm talking about the carnality, obviously not the body. So, the inward man is to maintain control over the outward man. That's what we call, or what God calls, walking in the Spirit. When the inward man is controlling the outward man, we're walking in the Spirit. So let's look at the spirit of man. The Spirit's what gives life to the physical body. So the Spirit is more important than the natural. The natural wouldn't be here without the Spirit. You with me? So why are we placing all our emphasis on the outward man? Most of our interest should be placed on the inward man, and then the inward man using the outward man like a vehicle. You know, your car didn't tell you where to go this morning. You steered it here. And that's the way your spirit's to do with your body. Your body's not to tell your spirit where to go. Your spirit is to steer the body. Take control. Unlike the natural man, which comes from a physical union between a man and a woman, the spirit man comes from God. Natural produces natural. The spirit produces spirit, and God's spirit. And so don't think that you can operate naturally and produce spiritual things. It's an impossibility. It won't happen. And that's where most of the church arena is today, just doing natural things and think they're going to get spiritual results out of it. It's a deception. You got to wake up. According to Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost regions of a person. And I could say lamp, you understand, or light. Your spirit is God's light inside you. God looks inside you, not outside. God judges by looking at what? The heart of man. That's the core, the inward being, not the outside. And we better start taking this seriously and get this right. See, Jesus told the religious people of their day, He said, you're like a cemetery, whited sepulchers. You understand? He said, on the outside, you're beautiful. You know, you can drive by Holly Hill and you can talk about how beautiful it is. Full of dead men's bones. What he's saying is, on the outside, you clean. You're going to go through your ceremonial washings. You're going to do all that. But inside, you're filthy. That's why he said, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles. It's what comes out. That's defiling a person. Because your mouth is going to reveal what's in your heart. So if you want to know what you're full of, record your conversation. See what you're talking about. And see if it's of God or if it's of the flesh, if it's of the world. The spirit of man is the part of man that's born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of John, you must be born again. A man must be born of the Spirit. See, Nicodemus is thinking naturally. Jesus is saying that which is natural is natural. That which is spirit is spiritual. You have to be born of the Spirit. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of the Spirit. You understand? And a lot of people are deceived talking about how they're going to live in heaven and all that, and they've never been born again. They've just been religiously indoctrinated. Amen. It's not what you're suppressing on the outside. Is there a change of heart? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This is referring to the spirit man. Life. The nature of God has entered in. But the mind still has to be renewed. Because that old nature programmed the mind. So it's extremely important that we renew our minds with the Word of God. God's Spirit's residing in the human spirit. That sets us apart for the Lord. Or we could call it sanctified. See, that's what 1 Corinthians 1:30 talks about. Jesus is our sanctification. By becoming one with Jesus, that sets us apart. That consecrates us to God. But you can desecrate what's consecrated. Think about that. But when God's Spirit is in the human spirit, it gives a unique distinction to us. If you're truly born again, you don't act like you used to act. Do you understand? I grew up in religion and I was smart enough to say the right things and put on the right show, but I didn't have a right heart because I'd never been born again. And you know what sinful people do, sinful nature? They sin. It's their nature, right? So then a person who's born again and becomes righteous, the nature is righteous, so a righteous nature doesn't sin. That's what John's talking about in 1 John. If your nature's right, your nature won't produce sin. God's nature can't sin. But the flesh will still sin if you let go of the reins. That's why the spirit man has to control the outward man. A holy occupant calls for a holy house. The Holy Spirit living in a person wants a holy house to reside in. He tells us not to defile or desecrate the temple of God. I'm not going to go with the old legalism stuff on all this because there's far more to it than just a habit. You understand, there's a lot of other things that make the temple unclean. This is the temple of God. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of God and God dwells in them? So then who should be in control of this body? God. Makes sense, doesn't it? And if God's in control of the body, you're not. And if God's in control, the body's going to be going to the right places, doing the right things, and saying the right things. But when you're in control, you're probably going to be doing some wrong stuff. There's no probably about it. You will be. So let's get out from under the steering wheel and let the Spirit of God get over there and drive this body, lead it, guide it, where He wants it to go. Amen. I'm not going to get through with this. So I'm going to stop. There's more to it than that I can get through, and I don't want to rush it. But I hope you're getting the idea. This is flesh. But when this is allowed to do its own thing, it becomes carnality, which is hostile toward God. Then it's not submitting to God. Our bodies are to be brought under subjection. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. So we're under the body, but we're to keep the body submitted to the Spirit. Amen. I'll stop there.